And ladies and gentlemen of the jury, the prosecution is not going to get that man today. No, because I'm going to get him.
The Hagman and Hagman Report. Welcome to the Hagman and Hagman Report. This program is really taking off, isn't it? I want to thank everyone tuning in from the multitude of locations, whether you're in the United States, Canada. We have some listeners in Central and South America. We also have people checking in with us from Europe, from the UK. I want to say hello. Thank you so much for tuning in. You're listening to the Hagman and Hagman Report right here on the Global Star Radio Network. It's the place to be. I'm Doug Hagman at the helm with fellow investigative researcher and, of course, my son, Joe Hagman. Together, something I like to call America's premier father-son investigative reporting team. We've got so much to get into tonight, folks. Of course, you know that we broadcast live each and every weeknight, Monday through Friday, from 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time. Go to HagmanandHagman.com. You want to, for the menu, in terms of where we, well, our broadcasting venues, how you can access our various venues, various options to listen. And we dig deep into a variety of topics, as you well know, whether it's about the elections or whether it's about past issues, things of antiquity. That's what we address, all with a Christian or from a Christian perspective. Folks, tonight we've got a very special show for you planned in the final two hours, the final four segments of our show. We're going to be talking with a military source. Cannot give you his name.
We can give you his first name.
Yeah, we'll just call him Tim. How's that? He is, he's still considered active military until the end of next month. And of course, He holds clearances. And when you get into that, and when you get into broadcasting, radio, there are certain rules that you have to adhere to. And of course, he's going to be playing it by the book in terms of identifying him. So, folks, tell your friends, tell your family, tune in. It's going to be an important show.
And he's not going to just go over current events that are only happening today. He's going to hit on that, but he's going to do so by going through his background and his beginning years of service, in through different current events and points in history that changed, as well as his service to, you know, from 9/11
right.
onward, into current topics from his point of view, from where he came from. It's going to be a great show.
The big picture. That's what we're going to be getting into. The big picture, touching on many topics, as you said. Topics that apply, especially in the headline-rich environment today.
Now, I want to throw a curveball. I know you have stuff you wanted to jump right into, but I don't know if you saw this, and I need to verify this from a secondary source, conservativedaily.com. I'm not sure how accurate their website is, but if they're correct, there has been a backdoor ammo ban done by the Obama Regulatory Administration by reclassifying a key compound, chemical compound for making gunpowder, as a highly explosive and now illegal for any company or industry to transport or store it. It's known as nitrocellulose. Apparently is a chemical compound known to its use in gunpowder. For decades, the firearm industry has been allowed to store and transport wetted nitrocellulose without having to treat it as explosive.
Just a second. Let's authenticate the source. What is that?
Conservative-daily.com? Yes.
Okay. Isn't that interesting? Well,
just in the last few hours this has come out, but we'll have to verify it through the actual regulations. I can read the regulations and find out.
Well, you know, it's, look, we know it doesn't take much, or it doesn't take many people to talk, or it doesn't take you can see the writing on the wall. Folks, you can see the writing on the wall. The gun rights are under attack. And Obama's going to do everything in his power to limit our ability to purchase weapons, the capacity, the magazine capacity, the ammunition through taxes and backdoor regulations, of course. So expect the unexpected, or expect his agenda, their agenda, the agenda of the globalists, to play out for the rest of his term. And of course, that kind of segues into what we're going to be talking about tonight, for the first hour. Folks, we're being set up, and we told you this quite some time ago, didn't we? We talked about this before. We talked about the potential for the election to be false flagged, or to be taken over, or to be things to happen. We told you to expect the unexpected.
Mm-hmm.
We told you that what you see today may not be how it plays out in November. Of course, this on the as we watch Trump complete his affairs, his meeting in Mexico. A lot of things could happen between now and November, and I do expect that a lot of things will happen. But a couple of issues here that I think are important that we're going to get into, and I'm going to turn it over to you. Folks, we talked about this, or we touched on this yesterday and the day before a little bit. The fact that a candidate's death could delay or eliminate the presidential election. We're being set up, in my view anyway, we're being set up for a change. We're being set up for something to take place that will challenge the legitimacy of the presidential elections. We're going to be talking about that. We're also going to be talking about the clarion call by the Department of Homeland Security saying that they are going to, there's a need to take charge of the elections, citing, of course, breaches, database breaches. But this is nothing new in terms of their agenda. We knew about this before. And there's also, in the same vein, you're looking at this variety, numerous things that anyway, it appears to me, and Joe and I were talking about this before the show, and you can jump in here at this point, Joe, that there's something up. There's something up with Hillary. There's something up with Trump. Trump, with respect to his, not just his platform, but because he was wavering on immigration, or seemingly appeared to be. Now he's meeting with the Mexican president. And when that comes out, now is that being spun by the media? Is his meeting being spun by the corporate media? What's the intent down there? Just a couple of things to ask yourselves, as well as Hillary Clinton's war on the alternative news media. Folks, we are in the crosshairs, whether you want to believe that or not. Alex Jones is in the crosshairs. Rick Wiles is in the crosshairs. Every alternative media source of any substance is in the crosshairs. And we cannot stress this enough. Frankly, I don't know how long it will be before there will be a large salvo of, I don't know, cruise-like missiles, metaphorically speaking, across our bow. I think we're going to see more and more, especially in October. Of course, the October surprise, but there are so many people that I've gotten emails from saying, look, we have information that the alternative media, that you, meaning us, and others like you, and especially if you're doing it from a Christian perspective, because then they can get you on hate speech, meaning the government.
They're doing in London.
Yes,
we see,
go ahead.
We see a lot of that now, and I don't have the particulars in front of me, but there were speech laws and behavior laws that were passed in London and throughout different parts of Europe. London Stan is what Drudge has been referring to it as, since the mayor of London was recently elected as a Muslim. And what they have done is they are scouring through comments under articles social media posts from Facebook to Twitter to Instagram, and anything that they deem as racist or offensive or bigoted,
yep,
they are punishing people with fines and even jail time in many cases. I read this story maybe about 3 weeks ago where this one guy was a multiple offender. I think it was over 22 times. He verbally abused this Jewish woman and her daughter, saying just horrible things about, you know, Jewish people and the Holocaust, and gassed them all. And he even took this into the courtroom and started saying the same things to the judge. But it struck me as very interesting that this man was, you know, ticketed for actual, I forget what the terminology used was, but it boiled down to basically saying something offensive to the other lady. Now think about that here in America on the streets in everyday cities, from New York City to LA to Chicago to, I don't know, even cities, you know, like Columbus, Cleveland. If basically it boils down to, you can honk your horn at somebody, and if they get offended by it, you can be locked up. Now that's just obviously a metaphor, but you know, we see how free speech works in this country every single day. Just because speech is free doesn't mean you have to agree with it, like it.
The protection of speech is designed to protect the very speech that you disagree with.
Right.
So understand that. The protection is designed to protect that speech, which is controversial.
And it ties into religion. I mean, as much as, you know, some people don't like it, the First Amendment gives another person the right to read a Quran, you know, on a park bench, or, and we're even seeing limits on this, you know, coming into different, we're not with the Quran, but with the Bibles and the schools and the workplaces. And you can kind of see the blueprint for how they are, organizing their legislation of speech, before the turnover of the internet on October 1st of this year to the UN. And they've already labeled what they see as, you know, bigoted and hate speech. Recently, the Southern Poverty Law Center classified the group All Lives Matter as a hate group. We see anything that's anti-Muslim, anti-LGBT is deemed hate speech, and or hate crimes when crimes are committed against people of these classifications. But the other way around, it is downplayed. You know, it is not hate speech. It was domestic violence.
Workplace.
Yeah, well, it was, I mean, not hate speech. Yeah. You know, it was somebody's opinion, and it was not a terrorist attack. It was workplace violence. So they're very objective when it comes to
lawfare,
implementing
too.
The law.
And lawfare is going to play a big role in this as well.
It's like the IRS targeting.
Yes.
They pick and chose organizations that were viewed as their opponents, and they went and used their weaponization of the IRS to target these political groups, these nonprofit political groups, with audits based on their political ideology. They didn't go after everybody in a certain sector or everybody committing certain behavioral patterns with money. They went after groups specifically for their beliefs. And this is how the free speech and censorship will come into effect, the end of free speech and censorship. They will cherry pick at first who they want to shut down, use them as examples, and I believe then, you know, lay down just blanket restrictions on speech, and come in and use the police force with American tax dollars paying the bill to police free speech.
The media, the government, the globalists within the government that have been placed in there really from the 50s onward, from post-World War II, immediately after World War II, to the present day.
Even before World War II.
Well, yeah, but really in earnest after the Nazis many people say they were defeated, but of course they were not. They were just relocated. But having said that, the infiltration into the United States government, especially at the State Department level, in the Congress, in all of those venues, these people now have switched from infiltration and overtaking into now a full combat mode. So folks, understand this. We're seeing a lot of plans that were made coming to pass. Now, they're not going to win on all fronts. We know that. We know that. We can throw monkey wrenches into various parts of their plans. But
yeah, one example of that is to use our own words to redefine speech in a way we can say things without saying them, for instance, if we had to.
Well, yeah.
And that's just, yeah. I mean, one example of many. Obviously, I'm not afraid to go to jail to continue to,
if it comes to that,
report the truth and news and current events the way that we do so through a biblical perspective.
Hold on a second, though. You mentioned something. I don't think they could. I don't think they could round up or hold all of us into a jail environment. Okay. In other words, how are they going to? How would they execute that? That incarceration of offenders of their free speech policy?
I think they could do it. You know, they could easily, in the middle of the night, have 10 targets, 10 alternative media hosts. We'll say you throw 100 alternative names, host names in a basket, and they pick 10 out.
All right.
They could easily form small squads of arrest teams in the middle of the night and execute warrants to bring these people in.
It's
very possible.
I would think that and folks, you're welcome to formulate your own opinion, and we'd love to hear it. But I'm thinking more that they would take the higher profile entities, groups, individuals, and make examples out of those, and then disappear, so to speak, using that as a verb. The remaining malcontents and the remaining problem children, so to speak. So that's my view.
And there was I forget what the name of the prophecy club, maybe Ken Peters was a gentleman who gave a testimony about his vision he received from the Lord about the tribulation times, where he talked about however there was TV screens everywhere, and this was before, I think this was in the 80s, early 90s, he gave his testimony, and he talked about little computers, the size of what phones look like today.
Right.
And just how there were screens everywhere, and cars and stores and people's persons when he was walking around. And he talked about the chaos of how media was shut down, and when it was about a period of 2 weeks, and when the media came back on, it was a new organized form of government that was all completely censored, and there was an Antichrist figure that was in there who was giving his messages, and it came across all the different platforms that were seemingly connected but not connected in message. Basically, one channel came on all the computers, phones, and TVs. But folks, I would ask you to check out that video of Ken Peters' testimony from Prophecy Club. You can find it on YouTube when you have some time. It's a few hours, and it's very detailed, and something we've talked about here for a few different reasons throughout the years we've been on air.
Let me just clarify
something.
On a second. Let me clarify what I said, or what I meant to say. I wasn't too clear on this because I'm getting a couple of emails. I understand the FEMA camps, or the FEMA facilities, the prisons, I understand the existence and with the existence of those where individuals, people can be placed in those. What I'm saying, though, at the onset of the enforcement of a free speech or a hate speech type of law, that the initial throes of the enforcement, I don't believe that they would do it in a traditional manner. In other words, you're here today and gone tomorrow, and then there's going to be questions, but then others would be made examples of. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
Different tactics for different levels of people, of problem people.
What is happening, with our president and our executive branch and the government today, we see a few different things. Obama to bypass Congress and pretend to ratify UN climate deal, the Paris Accord,
right,
that was announced yesterday. Again, this is another action that the executive branch is taking, like giving the internet over to an international body, the UN, which is illegal to give away federal powers and authority without congressional approval. Obama is seemingly doing the same thing to bypass the Senate and ratify the Paris Climate Accord. But just take a second to think. If Hillary Clinton gets elected, if the FCC or even the international body who's regulating the Internet and the speech of the Internet is the UN, we know they already have a plan in place to shut down any political dissidents and take away those who support the people who create that dissidence.
Right.
Which would be our listeners.
No, well,
I mean, there are plans out there.
Wait a second. I don't want them to be afraid for listening to this program. No. Why don't you explain that a little bit more?
Okay, you know how Steve Quayle talks about the green list, the red list, the blue list, and people ask about the stickers on mailbox. Well, everybody who is an American citizen, and I would say everybody in Europe too, is now classified as, you know, they have a file. They have, you know, your political beliefs. Who do you, you know, what you're ascribed to. They keep track of who, if people are perceived to be anti-government or not. If people are, you know, anti, we'll say, when Obama took the presidency, if you're a birther. They have these classifications on people, whether you're the head of the CEO of a huge company or, you know, you're a mechanic in a small town, garage.
Right.
They know. It's like the grocery club cards you talk about. They have your information.
The loyalty cards.
They know what your patterns are, your beliefs are. And they classify you into, yes, you can be reeducated. No, you won't be reeducated. Yes, there's a possibility of being reeducated from the information that I have read. And that backs up what Larry Graffalt talked about with the Weather Underground. So, I mean, there are a few different ways that this can be brought about.
Yeah, and again, just to reinforce my point.
And nobody should be scared.
No, correct. Just to reinforce what I meant to say, to clarify it. I don't believe it's going to take place. What you're talking about, this whole thing, as it comes down, I don't believe it's going to be done in a traditional, oh, I expected it to go that way manner. That's what I should have said, as opposed to what I did say. Folks, speaking about all of this, are you prepared? Visit MinutemanStove.com. I was talking with a couple of friends of mine today, two guys who go hunting, and they were talking about going deer hunting this year, and they were having an issue about actually they're going to be camping in the woods. They've got a little cabin. I wouldn't say it's anything major, but they need something to cook on. It's the cabin that they have, of course, is very, very rustic and. Well, it's just four sheets of plywood and a roof. They're going to be in the Allegheny Mountains.
It's a fun place to camp.
Yeah, you know, but we were talking about cooking, and they said, yeah, we need something to cook on. And I showed them the Minuteman Rocket Stove, and they got really excited. So, folks, visit MinutemanStove.com. If you've got a hunter in the family or who's going to be camping out, let's say, this deer season, or if you want to really top off your preparations with something that you probably don't think about.
You just gave yourself away. You're not a hunter.
What do you mean?
You can't be cooking while you're waiting to hunt.
I'm talking about the
afterwards.
The guys go before.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah, they go down on the Saturday before the Monday.
No. I thought you were talking about while you're sitting there.
No. Yeah. Again, I'm having problems with my delivery tonight apparently, but anyway, I showed them the Minuteman stove and they were really excited about it. The Minuteman Rocket Stove is a perfect outdoor, even for survival. It's a perfect stove for you and your family. For a number of reasons, folks. The stove is a biomass burning stove. It requires just small amounts of sticks and twigs for fuel, and you're always going to be able to find enough fuel. In their case, of course, in the woods. But if you're in an urban setting, you can find this device. This stove requires so little wood; it's just amazing. I really want you to check it out. Go to MinutemanStove.com. It's fully insulated. The stove itself.
Reinforced 1/8 inch steel. It burns at over 1400 degrees.
That'll leave a mark.
But it's safe to burn on top of picnic tables.
Yes.
And, you know, you can on top of your driveway or on the ground, however you want to do it. It is a perfect, portable, and efficient way to cook your food on the go. Saves the time and manpower of gathering wood for big fires and gathers all the heat and has a just a very simple but smart system where just a few sticks and branches can help you cook your dinner right on a burner.
That's right.
And a small ammo can.
Great stuff, because it's made in America, ladies and gentlemen, by Americans. And this, to me, this is our personal choice for survival cooking. This, if you're looking for a cooking mechanism, device, this is it. MinutemanStove.com. MinutemanStove.com. That's MinutemanStove.com. Folks, go there and make sure you mention you heard this on the Hagman and Hagman Report. But you know what, Joe? We need to be really thinking about preparations in all avenues, in all areas of our life.
Mm-hmm.
Can you feel it out there? Can you feel the change?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. The political climate is increasingly hostile.
Yeah.
The racial tensions here in this country are not going back to normal. And when I say normal, it was already very tense. Since Obama's taken office, we've seen just an increase in the racial tension here in this country, unneededly so. We see what is going on globally with the globalization push that we have from most of, if not all, the world leaders and the people who pull their strings. And then you have Trump promoting nationalism, and you have a media that is lying and doing everything they can to shield and protect Hillary Clinton and help her retaining a presidency.
Man. To retain the presidency, even
Assange says it best. Hillary's a demon that is going to put nooses around everyone's neck, and the media is protecting that demon, he said.
What a way with words, the yak. Stay right where you're at. We're gonna be right back.
Survival and preparations at the end of the first segment, and here in the top of segment number two, we're going to be talking about survival and preparation with the owner of American Survival Wholesale, Chance. He's got a new and important package that he wants to come on and talk about, and we are going to turn this over to Chance for a few moments to let him come on and talk about the latest deal at AmericanSurvivalWholesale.com, our go-to survival food company here at the Hagman and Hagman Report. He's been a friend and sponsor of the show for years, and he's been doing so much for our audience and Christians out there. We can't thank him enough. Chance, it's great to have you on the show.
Blessings, gentlemen. Blessings all Hagman listeners out there. You've been listening to Tim Weldon, whom I've had the honor and privilege to have met in person. He's a man of God who's proudly served our country for the past 20 years. What I am about to tell you guys might make you upset. It might make you a bit angry, but it needs to be said. It needs to be talked about. Many of our brave soldiers, law enforcement officers, Border Patrol agents are just not making it on their meager salaries. Those that are protecting our community, our country, and our borders can't protect their own families if a disaster were to occur. I have spoke to, and there are some of the lower ranking E1 to E4 in our military that are collecting food stamps. This is disgusting and makes me and others sick. That being said, we, Team ASW, with the help of you, the Remnant, and others, like our friends at the Ready Project, have a solution. Where there's a problem, there is a solution. So please, get a pen and paper right now.
All right.
Here's what we're going to do. If you go to American Survival Wholesale, click on All Products, and select Bless Those Who Serve, we will send you, your family, 103 servings of breakfast, lunch, dinner, and snacks. Your cost, $99, but this is the great thing. By doing that, we will be able to send, with your help, the exact same pack to those that serve us. Number two, for those out there in the military actively serving, if you would like to get your family prepared, September is Preparedness Month. Those that are in law enforcement that are struggling to make ends meet, those that are protecting our borders, I'm calling out to you right now, please email us, bugoutamerica@usa.com, bugoutamerica@usa.com. We want to help. Please email us. We will get a pack out to you right away. No catch. Call us anytime. We're going to keep the lines open late tonight, but this offer will go on as long as we can do this. I want to thank you, gentlemen, for letting me take the time to do this today.
Sure, Chance. One more time. AmericanSurvivalWholesale.com. Go to All Products, and under All Products, choose the Bless Those Who Serve. Is that correct?
That is correct.
And then, folks, any and everybody who buys one of these packages is helping a veteran, a service member, also receive a package courtesy of AmericanSurvivalWholesale.com. Again, go to AmericanSurvivalWholesale.com, click on All Products, then go to Bless Those Who Serve, and check out the packs that they have there. And you are helping a veteran with their and yourself with survival food that will last, that is durable, that is even tasty to eat. And I can attest to that.
As if that's a...
Well, you know, when you're looking at long-term storable foods, they're not always, you know...
That's right.
The best tasting.
Go ahead, Chance.
Joe and Doug, this is actually for all active duty military, those that are currently serving, as well as law enforcement officers and Border Patrol agents around our country. Any of those out there who need help, please contact us. We will get a pack out to you right away. Thank you so much for all those that are going to participate in this. It means so much. And, again, thank you, gentlemen.
All right. Thank you, sir. God
bless.
Thanks, Chance. Yeah. And American Survival Wholesale, folks, just to recap that, they are helping our active duty law enforcement and military personnel through this package. So you get $100 worth of food, 120 servings. They will send out the same package to an active duty law enforcement or military individual, their family in need. It's a great initiative. We want to thank them for their initiative there. That's AmericanSurvivalWholesale.com. And of course, click on the package that Joe referenced there. You can just go to the front page there.
Bless Those Who Serve.
All right. Now, real quick here, a couple of things before we bring on our guests at the top of the next segment here, next hour. Joe, there are a number of things here that, folks, if you're not watching very carefully, I just want to bring out two things before we get into the meat of this. For example, on Drudge, if you take a look at what Drudge is reporting, it's interesting because you've got, number one, you've got this discovery of a 3.7 billion year old fossils, which they're saying are the oldest forms or signs of life on Earth, the oldest signs of life on Earth. Now think about that. So who cares about that? What does that have to do with anything? Think about Steve Quayle, Tim Alberino, L.A. Marzulli, all of the people who have been investigating the pre-flood, the Atlantis, the Instandeo and such. Think about those. Think about the context in which this whole narrative is being built, followed by mystery UFO spotted near the International Space Station, followed by these various other signs, for example, the Vatican being using the telescope at their telescope to look for signs of extraterrestrial life.
There's
and
also a
SETI now.
SETI. You know, I read SETI yesterday.
Saying, wait, we found something here.
There was a signal from last year, I believe, or earlier this year that they received. It's about 94 light years away, if I remember correctly.
Yes.
From a distant one star system, which they said that they had some form of signal that SETI received. They were not attributing it to alien life, but they do not have a explanation as to where it came from.
Well, all of this combined in the aggregate, as Ted Brewer says, this is
very well known astronomer who was found decaying, dead in his home just today. I don't know if that has any relation to anything that is going on with you know, things in the sky with UFOs, with the close asteroid that almost hit Earth yesterday that people are just finding out about today.
Right.
And a number of other close calls that we're going to see later on in September. But there are things that are happening. And Eric, you and Eric,
yes,
and me were sitting before the show and we were talking. We were mentioning about the elections and Eric brought up Jonathan Wright, code searcher. What was the word you used, Eric? Trump wins, Hillary steals. Listen to what George Soros said today. And folks, I emailed this to you, Eric, and there's a video of this on Twitter. George Soros says Trump will win popular vote, but it's already been decided that Clinton will be POTUS. Again, Soros says Trump will win popular vote, but it's already decided that Clinton will be the president. That just goes to what you were talking about, Eric, and what Jonathan Wright was and has been writing about.
Now, something is, again, this is not going to play out the way people think it is, and I think we need to be looking at all potential aspects of that. And that kind of speaks to, or is a good segue into what we referenced earlier in earlier programs about the candidate's death could delay or eliminate the presidential election. Mm-hmm. The presidential election, folks, could be delayed or scrapped altogether, according to this. Now, this might seem like old news to you, but we have new listeners, new people tuning in here. So, just bear with us if you've heard this before, but if conspiracy theories become predictive and a candidate dies or drops out before November 8th, this or the perhaps equally startling alternative, if there's enough time, small groups of people handpicking replacement pursuant to obscure party rules. Basically, this is no rules.
Well, one of the ideas floated out there, there was an anonymous electoral college voter who said that we don't need the popular vote to choose a presidency in times of an emergency. We can call the electoral vote and start and end with that to determine the president.
Well,
basically saying again, none of the citizens in the country need to vote. And when you do vote, it comes down to the electoral vote anyways. And if you say that an election can't be stolen in broad daylight, just look at Bush and Gore. You know, look back to that.
But even more is basic than that, this is the difference between a democracy and a representative republic in which we live.
Exactly. Which we had Greg Jackson on not too long ago that talked about the meaning of words and how words have been distorted by their definition. And, you know, the word republic has been substituted for democracy. And people believe we are a democracy when in reality we are a constitutional republic. A democracy is something that the founders wanted to stay away from. That's why they gave us a republic.
Well, to that end, John Nagel, a university professor at Notre Dame, listen to this. He says, there is nothing in the Constitution that requires a popular election for electors serving in the Electoral College. Okay, so meaning that the body that officially elects the presidents could convene without the general public voting, which is exactly what you said. So, and it's up to each state legislature to decide how they want to choose the state's electors. This according to Nagel from Notre Dame. So it may be a situation in which the fact that we have an electoral college rather than direct voting for presidential candidates may prove helpful. Now, Michael Savage was talking about this as well. You combine that with the talk of voting fraud, the hacking of the voting machines. There's a simple answer to all of this, really, to Part A and Part B. Part A would be paper ballots, and Part B, of course, would be voter ID. You need ID in order to vote, a valid government ID. And, of course, everyone says, well, no, that's racist. You can't do that. That's oppressive to the minorities. Come on. That's a bunch of BS. And everyone knows that. And why that the people are just saying that, well, you know, we can't enforce something like that, to me, is just insane. So they did it in Iraq. Remember that, the purple thumb. So both major parties, however, have rules for presidential ticket replacements. However, and Congress has to, they've got the power to change the election date under Article 2 of the Constitution. Mm-hmm. And that allows federal lawmakers to set dates for the selection of the presidential electors, or the electors, and when the electors will vote. But Congress would be up against a de facto December deadline, as the Constitution's 20th Amendment requires that congressional terms expire January 3rd and presidential terms on January 20th. Now, remember, they moved that back from years ago when that used to be in March. Now, it's conceivable to split legislative and presidential elections. They generally happen at the same time, and if the general election were to be moved after January 3rd, Congress effectively would have voted themselves out of office, and that wouldn't work. So you're looking at a December deadline, and if that deadline is not met, what is being said here is we would really have a constitutional crisis.
Yes, we would. And there are a few options that the people who make the rules can choose to use, one of them being a delayed election with candidates that were never on the ballot in the first place, if you can believe that.
Sure.
Unless they submitted certain paperwork filings like Mitt Romney did and Jeb Bush did, even though that they did this after they did, they lost the primary, and you have to wonder why that is. To even secret elections held in private by, you know, quote unquote, the Electoral College, without the say of the American public, to outright keeping the current president in for a term as long as he deems necessary. With the expansion of federal powers and breaking of the Constitution with such laws as the Patriot Act, we can see how the executive branch's authority can continue to write new laws for themselves, which is very troublesome to worry about.
And think about this. We've been talking about this for months now, and now we're watching it unfold. And think about Trump being in Mexico. Think about what that's doing with respect to the potential for his safety and consequential, well, subsequent to that meeting, because there is anger building here with Mexicans in the United States against Trump and against their own president for meeting with Trump. That anger has been amplified and even exacerbated. So Trump is making enemies, of course, with the Mexicans for meeting. I mean, the threat to Trump is not just while in Mexico or just having been in Mexico, but carries on afterwards. But back to this.
Go ahead. There's four direct scenarios that are coming out from a man's book, the author of a forthcoming book touching on candidates' death. His name is Amar, and I don't see his last name here.
Oh, you're talking about, here, I got it right here, Akhil Reed Amar.
That's, yes.
Akhil Reed Amar.
The author of this book, Touching on Candidates' Death, outlines four distinct scenarios that would warrant special consideration because of the wording of the 20th Amendment. One, a death before an election. Two, a death after an election, but before electors meet in December. Three, a death between electors voting and Congress counting votes in January, and the time between Congress confirming the election results and the January 20th inauguration. The three post-election time frames identified by Amar are distinguished by whether the candidate technically is considered president-elect. That designation is covered by the 20th Amendment, which allows, in case of president-elect's death, that he or she may be replaced by the vice president-elect. But in the narrowest sense, those amendment terms only cover part of January. Though all considerations accounting for a candidate's death are hypothetical, they could come at a future point, could become less so. We should never forget 9/11 was a local election day in New York, Anmar says.
Yeah, and many people didn't realize that, or don't realize that.
Was it Tuesday?
Yeah, and it was the local elections affected by the terrorist attack on 9/11 of 01. But this is important. Now, I got an email from someone. We had touched on this earlier, or at least in the first segment, about the fact that we, as Christian broadcasters, as broadcasters within the alternative media, are being targeted. Vivian from Ohio said, make sure you tell us how, you know, to mention how that people can find us in the event that we're shut down, as in the manner in which we broadcast right now.
Smoke signals.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you something. We will, and you will know. We just don't want to give away anything right now, but I will say that Global Star Radio Network is strong, and they're behind us, and we thank God that they exist. Todd is just a great person, and the venue is great. YouTube, who knows? BTR, who knows? Other venues, I don't know. But we do have some plans in place and working on other plans. So, folks, at the appropriate time, if that does ever happen, you will know. But we're not going to announce anything before, you know, until the absolute last moment, because.
And that's why we ask you to bookmark our websites, HagmanandHagman.com and HagmanReport.com, because if something were to happen where we were unable to actually speak to you in the manner that we are doing now, we would be able to write it out there. And as long as the internet is up and running, that would be a place where we would be able to communicate to each other.
That's right.
All right. We got about six minutes left before the top of the hour break, and after which Sergeant Tim will be joining us, which we're going to be talking about a number of important topics and issues with Sergeant Tim, who is still on active military duty.
There it goes. Drop my watch.
In other news today, we have Trump visiting Mexican president, and
of course,
he comes back and says that he didn't discuss who is going to pay for the wall, but Mexican president disputes Trump over border wall payment discussion, according to CNN, but their meeting was much friendlier than CNN is leading on. Trump flew into a nation he's constantly berated during his campaign to meet the president of Mexico, Enrique Nieto. Now, this is CNN's words. Now, you can see and sense the hostility in their writing. They discussed a wall he has vowed to build on the U.S. southern border, but has not demanded that Mexico pay for it, an assertion the Mexican president later disputed. But other articles from other sources go on to show that Trump told the Mexican president, "Let's fight globalism together." This is a message that is being overlooked instead of they're talking about the wall and who's going to pay for it, trying to hide the fact that Trump is, you know, reaching out to the leader of our nation to the south of us, saying not just build a wall, but let's stop the pace of globalism and the continuation of globalism in our respective countries together.
Yeah.
And that is not being reported.
No.
Mexican president actually said it was open and constructive conversation, despite what CNN is reporting. So, as Trump laid out five shared goals that the Mexican president had agreed on. So despite whatever you hear about Trump going to Mexico and how much the president and all the citizens of Mexico hated it, it seemed to be quite a success, as Hillary took him to task for meeting a foreign leader.
I find it very interesting. What has Hillary Clinton done in this campaign? She's laying back like she doesn't have to do any of this. And of course she doesn't, but the normal and customary actions of a candidate. Yeah, you go to disaster areas. For example, the flooding. You go meet other heads of state.
The president's not doing this. She's not doing this
but as a candidate, what has she done?
Exactly.
So listen to this. 270 plus days.
Hillary Clinton today used her first public event in nearly a week. What did it say? Wednesday, August 31st.
Right.
So first time she's been out in public in a week to bash Donald Trump for dropping in on Mexico, saying building relationships takes more than a photo op. As she spoke to a crowd of veterans that seemed to be a third of people missing from the chairs in the audience there.
Well, what we're looking at here is, I guess, the questions we have to ask, and what I would ask as an investigator. Look at the actions of Hillary, Diane Rodham, the witch, the yak, Clinton. Time for a yak screen there. Look at that. Look at her
look
at her behavior.
Right.
Look at her schedule.
Is this the behavior of a presidential candidate, or is this the behavior of someone who already knows the outcome and is resigned to what, either resigned to,
that's a good point,
going away, or is she so sure of herself that she feels that she doesn't have to do this?
I mean, look at the last 2 weeks. In Wisconsin, you had the police shooting of an armed man, which led to riots, where Trump went to speak on the racial tension and relations between cops and citizens in that community. You had the flooding in Louisiana, where Trump went to Louisiana and talked to victims of the flood, actually brought food and supplies down there with him. This is a man who seems to be acting very presidential, at least compared to the two alternatives, one being the renegade in chief and two being the Democratic nominee Hillary Clinton.
That's right.
I mean, you can't even get them to comment on these things.
Well,
except in blaming Trump for them.
Just myself, being an investigator by profession, I'm still looking at Hillary Diane Rodham, the act Clinton, and looking at her behavior, looking at her actions or inactions, inactivity.
Do you see what Obama's doctor said about her? That Obama's own doctor came out today and said that she needs a neurological examination. I want to see how the leftist media spins this and how much, I mean, I know what you're saying is something different, but is there something to her health here that, you know, is putting her down? Or like you said, and like George Soros said, is there something they already know that they're, you know,
but regardless, everyone knows there's something not right here with this picture. Everyone can feel it. Everyone can see it. You don't have to be a detective to understand that this behavior is not normal and customary for a presidential contender. And I think that we're seeing this play out, and everyone has this really bad feeling, sick feeling in the pit of their stomach when they look at this behavior, her inactivity, as compared to Trump. The two primary candidates here, and of course you have Jill Stein and Johnson on the Libertarian and Green Party tickets, respectively, or in that arena. However, and I, by the way, off script here, I watched the interview with Gary Johnson on Fox News on Sunday morning. I meet with my father-in-law every Sunday morning. I take him coffee. He's suffering from Alzheimer's, and we spend every Sunday morning together. The answers he gave, I don't know how many people, listeners and viewers out there, saw that interview. My goodness. I mean, talk about a very schizophrenic platform or schizophrenic views.
Did he defend carbon taxing in that interview? Because I saw a headline where it speaks about his willingness to...
He intimated, and you can go to his website, which I don't recommend, but he suggested that we need renewable energy. So to answer your question, there was an inference there, a reference there. However, he is not, libertarian. He defies description. So is he a contender? I really don't think so. And, I just found it amazing.
Could he do enough damage to take, you know, enough votes away from Trump to make a difference in the general election? That's the question we're going to ask. Folks, we're going to be right back with Sergeant Tim on the other side. He's going to get into an array of issues. That's Sergeant Tim on the Hagman and Hagman Report for the rest of the show. Stay with us.